I want to have you think with me about the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated for us. We celebrated Easter last Sunday. He is resurrected, He is alive, and He is living with us. He's empowering us, and we are now to follow His example, to be changed by Him, to become like Him, and to do what He was doing. So I want you to think about how He ministered. And one of the things that you'll notice as you read through the Gospels is how often the Gospel accounts quote the Old Testament. They're not separate books. They're a continuation, fulfillment. There's the living out of the blessings of the Old Testament are being modeled in the New Testament. 78 times Jesus quoted the Old Testament. 24 different books of what we classify different books in the Old Testament he quoted. 78 times, 24 different books, the scope of the Old Testament he quoted. It was how he operated, it was how he ministered. He quoted the Old Testament when he was tempted. He quoted the Old Testament when he started his ministry. He quoted the Old Testament as he taught and as he ministered. He quoted the Old Testament as he encountered his critics. He quoted the Old Testament as he hung on the cross. And as we go through our lives, as we begin our ministries, as we go through doing our ministry, teaching, encountering, as we face critics, as we face great trials, even the end of our lives, we want to be people quoting the Word of God. Quoting the Word of God. Declaring the Word of God. Proclaiming the Word of God. When Jesus began his ministry, he went to his hometown and was handed the scroll that was a sign for that day. It was the scroll of Isaiah. And he took that scroll and he unrolled it to the right spot. And you can think about what that was like. It wasn't flipping pages, which we can do fairly quickly. It was more like scanning through an iPad. You have to go over and over and over until you get to the right page. Well, that's how a scroll was. You had to roll it until you got to the right words. And he did that until he came to the portion of Isaiah, and he read these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and proclaim recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You see the verb repeated over and over? What is it that Christ said he came to do? He said he came to proclaim. The word proclaim is bigger than a word like state or recite, or even the word quote. The word proclaim has that essence of something that's done loudly, with authority. It's done in a way that addresses a situation and brings that word into that situation. Jesus saw his ministry as a proclaimer of the Word of God, which is, of course, the will of God, which reveals, of course, the heart of God, which is part of course, the very plan of God. So when we proclaim the Word of God, we're following the example of Christ, doing what Christ did. We're taking what God has said and bringing it into the present and making it part of the current situation. Jesus quoted the Old Testament 78 times, 24 different books. Why did he do it? Because he was anointed by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, to be the one who spoke forth the Word of God. What is he described as being as we turn in the Gospel of John? It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word. His ministry was speaking the Word. His definition of his ministry there was proclaiming the Word. We, as the sons and daughters of God, as Christ's followers, model ourselves after him and are speakers of, proclaimers of the word. God's revelation is much more accurate, reliable than your reasoning. His revelation supersedes your reasoning. God's declarations in his word are greater than your deductions. There is no way that you can use this brain to accomplish the ministry that God has given you. Rather, you need to use God's revelation of God's mind and use that as your ministry basis. Don't enter into a situation and think, well, I've got to think of something really smart to do to help this person. I've got to come up with some nugget of truth to help this person. Instead, back up and say, God, what do you want to say in this situation? What is your will for this situation? I was reading about a telephone counselor. Someone had called in and was asking for help, asking for prayer, and the person went on and described how bad their situation was as they started off in their Christian life and were trying to grow in faith. Just opposition came upon them, and oppression came upon them, and it seemed like it was overwhelming to them, and it seemed like they weren't going to be able to break out of it. And it was so intense that this person, the counselor, was becoming discouraged as they listened to the depth of the opposition this person was facing. And finally, this person realized they don't need me to think of something smart to say to them. They need the will of God. And so the person, as they sought God for how God wanted to speak into the situation, suddenly remembered God's promise. The Beatitudes came to mind, which says, you are blessed when people revile you. That scripture came to mind. And so this counselor said, wait, we got to stop talking. We got to stop reasoning. We need to start agreeing with Scripture. And he quoted that text that Jesus said, blessed are you when people revile you because of me. They said it out loud. They said it again. Blessed are you when people revile you because of me. And the declaring, the proclaiming, the agreeing with Scripture releases the power of Scripture. It lets it become a sword, not just in a sheath, not just closed up in a book, not just part of a scroll hidden away somewhere, but now the Word of God released in that situation so it can affect that person's emotions, that person's thinking, even that person's environment, even the people aligned against that person. The Word of God spoken is the Word of God, the power of God released. Will you become a person who knows the Word of God, believes the Word of God, quotes, proclaims, declares the Word of God into your situation? It's what Christ did. It's what you are called to do. Become a proclaimer of the Word. How did Jesus quote it, the Old Testament, 78 times from 24 different books of the Bible? He had to know it. As he knew it, it became part of his thinking, part of his feeling, part of his whole basis of operation. And as we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, we are then prepared to think God's thoughts, see things through God's lenses, and it becomes our response to the things we encounter. We become people who know the Word and then speak the Word, release the Word into that situation. The Word of God, the power of God, needs to be brought into that reality that we are encountering. Think with me about Exodus 12. In Exodus 12, we have the account of God preparing the Israelites for when the angel of death was going to pass through Egypt. Do you remember what he did for the Israelites on what became known now as Passover? Exodus chapter 12, verse 21. Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frames. none of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and on the sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses or strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance to you and your descendants. You can imagine how the first hearers of that word responded. Okay, God, you're going to send an angel, a destroyer, and slaughter is going to occur. Deliverance is going to be brought about. Our captives are going to be humbled and weakened, and we're going to be allowed to enter into your plan, your will, your promise. God provided a lamb as a sacrifice. He provided that. Now, what would happen to the family whose father said, well, I'm not going to do that. That sounds ridiculous. Well, that family would not be protected that night. But consider a second stage. What if a father of a family said, okay, I'll go slaughter the lamb. But as he slaughtered the lamb, he didn't catch the blood in the basin like the instructions were. What if he just let that blood soak into the ground? Well, that family would not be protected that night. Well, what if that man killed the lamb, captured the blood in the basin, and brought it home, but just left it in the basin outside his house? Well, that family would not be protected that night. He had to obey the word of God, which said, the blood is provided for you. Apply the blood. Apply the sacrifice. Apply the provision. Take the blood, capture it in a basin, bring it home, take some hyssop, which was a common plant growing all over that place over there, dip it in the basin of blood, and apply it to the sides, top of your door. Not the threshold, by the way. You don't walk on it. It protects you as you walk through it. Only that family that obeyed, took the provision of the blood, and applied it to their life, to their home, was saved, was protected, was delivered. Those who applied the blood were delivered. The shed blood of Christ is your deliverance. We are told that Jesus is the Passover lamb. Christ shed his blood for us. Now here's a wrong thinking that's out in the world. Some people get caught up in this, and they think, Christ died, Christ shed his blood, therefore we're all saved. But just as that ancient Israelite had to capture the blood, take the blood home, put the blood on their doorframe, so we must be people who receive the shed blood of Christ and apply it. We don't let it get poured into the ground, thinking it's going to do any good for us if it's never taken personally, never applied into our situation, never put on our own homes. No, we believe the scriptures, we receive the scriptures, and we apply the scriptures personally. Christ shed his blood for you. So what are you doing with the blood? That ancient Israelite had to take the basin of blood and dip a plant in it and paint it on their doorframe. What do we do with the shed blood of Christ? How do we apply it? See, you are in a battle, a spiritual battle, and you've got a real enemy warring against you. What is it that you do to fight against the enemy? Revelation 12:11, describing the opposition in its intensity, says, they, the followers of Christ, they, the redeemed of the Lord, they triumphed over the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What's that mean? They triumphed over the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Somehow, blood of the Lamb is appropriated, applied through the word of our testimony. Romans 10:9. If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart then we are saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. You see the amazing connection? There's a connection between this thing we call our heart and this thing we call our mouth. Your mouth reveals the content of your heart. Your mouth gives evidence to what's in your heart. Because they're so intricately connected, they're almost inseparable. You could say, well, I believe. How do I know you believe unless I hear it come out of your mouth? Your mouth is the activator of what's in your heart. So belief and confession are like two sides of the same coin. They're like opposite sides of the same hand. You confess because you believe. You believe, therefore you confess. And just as Christ modeled the speaking forth of the will of God, we speak forth the will of God and our faith in the will of God. Christians are declarers of the Word of God. As we declare it, we're applying it, not just to doorposts and door frames, but to every situation we encounter. How do you overcome the evil one? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. I am very appreciative of those people who shared during Easter morning and the Lent season testimonies. We had numerous ones, 6 weeks in a row, and then a 7th week, count Easter. We had testimonies. Some of you shared to the rest of us what God was doing inside of you. As you did that, you explained how the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, had impacted you, had changed you, how you responded to Him. As you testified to what God was doing, you released the power of God in your life. The testimony is the proclamation of God in you. Think about the Old Testament saints. Think about how they were called to minister. In Isaiah 55, God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. The Bible begins with God speaking things into His existence. The Gospels, the Gospel of John begins with the Word of God coming and speaking the good news, the revelation of God's plan of redemption. So He is a speaking God. What about Jeremiah? When Jeremiah was called in chapter 1, verse 9, God tells him that he's going to be appointed to be a proclaimer to the nations. And what does Jeremiah do? He does what you and I probably do. Who, me? Not me, God. No, I can't do that, God. I don't know what to say, God. And how does God speak back to a doubting Jeremiah? It says, but the Lord said to Jeremiah, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. Now my challenge to you is to ask this question seriously of God. When God said to Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth, and when God had that recorded and kept and passed along so that you could read it, does that declaration carry over to you? Does God say to you, I have put my word in your mouth? And think about if that's not a fulfillment of the prophet Joel, who was then quoted in Acts chapter 2 by the apostle Peter. referring to that time when the Spirit would come in fulfillment, when the Spirit would impact each and every follower of Christ, and your sons and your daughters would prophesy. What does prophesy mean? Proclaim God's word. In other words, we see in the prophet Joel, we see in Acts chapter 2, the apostle Peter, the fulfillment of what happened to Jeremiah, that the word of God was going to be put in the mouth of every follower of God. Everyone that had Jesus, the word, in them was now going to be a person who had the word in their mouth. My friends, I believe that many of us have received the word but kept it locked up. Have received the word but not released it. I believe God is calling us to a new level of fulfilling his plan of redeeming the world by being people who release the word into the world. People who become proclaimers of the word of God. One of the authors I read this week said, when we declare the word that God puts in our mouths, our proclamation carries as much authority as if God himself were declaring it. When a follower of God receives a word from God and speaks the word of God, that proclamation carries as much authority as if God himself were saying it. Why? Because God himself said it originally. And when the person is sensitive to the leading of the Spirit, when the person is sensing what is it that God the Father wants to say into the situation, what's God's rhema here, that person then becomes the mouthpiece of the word of God. I invite you to look at Scripture not as a book of facts, a book of precepts, not as a book of a bunch of principles, but as the revelation of the mind of God, the heart of God. And as you read Scripture, you're hearing God speak. And then as it soaks in you, permeates you, you walk throughout life and it bubbles out of you into the situations you're facing. You are called to be what? Ambassadors of Christ. What do ambassadors do? They hear the word of the president and they proclaim it to a country. And you are called to be ones who hear the word and proclaim it. Jeremiah 1:9, behold, I put my word in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. That's Jeremiah. And my friends, that is you. Receive the word of God. Believe the word of God and declare the word of God. In your bulletin was a handout of Psalm 67. We've already read it once. There's actually two of them on that little cardstock, so you can cut it in half and have one for you and one for another family member. So you can put one on the mirror and one on the car seat and one on the kitchen table. You can make a whole bunch. We probably have some extras in the office if you want a bunch. I invite you to use this declaration this month. Let this be the proclamation of the will of God. You can take this scripture, which is the word of God, and you can apply it to your situation. You can make it your declaration. You can state it in a way that personalize it. We're not allowed to change the content of Scripture, but we are called to be people who meditate on the Word of God day and night so that it fills us, permeates us, bubbles out of us, becomes the way we think. So you take it and you turn it into your personalization of the accurate Word of God. You could pray this word of God over yourself. You could pray this word of God over your family members. You can pray this word of God over your country, over other nations. It becomes you agreeing with God to release the will of God. Are you willing to do that? Let's use Psalm 67 to practice. Will you stand and declare Psalm 67 again this morning? And we're going to read it as stated, but I invite you, if you want to, personalize it. When you see an us, it's okay to put a me there. Or when you see an us, it's okay to put a you there. If you're praying it for yourself or you're praying it for your family member. When you see a nation, it's okay to put United States there or Ethiopia there. Don't change the meaning, but apply the meaning to the present situation that God is impressing upon your heart. So we're going to read it, but not read it as a reading of something that's cold and dead. We're going to read it as a declaration of the will of God to this situation. Let me pray first, and then we'll declare it. God, we ask for the faith to be people who take your word, believe your word, speak your word, proclaim your word. We don't understand how and why you chose to use us, but we know that you did. And so based upon your revelation and not our own reasoning, your declarations and not our own deductions, we're going to become obedient people who declare and proclaim your word. Use us even now as we pray Psalm 67. Will you join me? May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. We say amen to that declaration. We say may it be true of Polk County, the towns across this region. May it be true of Minnesota. May it be true of our country, the United States of America. May it be true of Russia and Ethiopia and China. May it be true of Costa Rica and Guatemala. May it be true of Iraq and Iran and Pakistan. May it be true of all peoples. May my family bless you. May my nephews and nieces bless you. May there be an encounter that occurs between them and you. We become ones who say yes to the Word of God, and we declare the Word of God to be accurate in these situations now for the glory of God. Amen.